Welcome to Intentional Living Today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're live here in the studio. Let me give you the phone number right off so you can join in our discussion, 888-888-1717. I was thinking about walking the studio today about how many of us wrestle with this thing of perfectionism, not excellence, but perfectionism, and how much perfectionism is like an anxious walk off a painful cliff. Ouch. You know, it will stunt your spiritual growth. Perfectionism ain't good. Not a good thing. Trying to do things well, do things with excellence is a good thing. But if you wrestle with perfectionism, like many of us do, we want to help you today. In fact, I would ask you, how has perfectionism impacted your life? What is it that you wrestle with perfectionism? 888-888-1717. I asked Linda that question in Arizona some time ago, and I asked the question, how has perfectionism impacted your life, Linda?
My perfectionism has hurt my career. I'm a well-educated. I've got not only a bachelor's, but a master's degree. And when I've taken positions, I've always felt like I was never living up to expectations. And even though I get like a great do an appraisal and it would come back well, I kept thinking, oh, they're just being nice. I'm not living up to expectations. And in one way or another, I'd end up leaving the position and thinking, oh, I'm going to find something that's a better match. I'm going to feel confident there. I'm going to feel comfortable. And now here I am about to turn 50, and I look back and I've got this sporadic resume because my perfectionism has gotten the best of me. And I moved here to Phoenix and I had a great position and felt like it's just not the right fit. And now I look back and say, wow, if I would have given that a chance, that could have been something really good. And I don't know I've yet to kind of really work through this.
Mm. Well, you're not alone, Linda. It's a big deal. I mean, perfectionism is something many people wrestle with. And when I say it stunts your spiritual growth, it really does. And if you're a perfectionist, you know it does. I mean, let's just get it right down to the bottom line here. When it comes to perfectionism, it can be a spiritual problem. Not only does it stunt your growth, but come on, if we're thinking that we're perfect, we have to be perfect to be accepted, we're really in many ways saying that this perfectionism is taking the place of God in my life. What I do, how I perform, am I measuring up, is sort of becoming godlike in my life. Ouch. And I know that can be painful, and I know that's not the intention, but when we talk about learning to be intentional and trusting God, depending on Him, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. Some of us can do things with excellence in one area and not so much in another. So doing things as perfectly as we can is one thing, but being in this trap of perfectionism is another. So how has perfectionism impacted you? This is intentional living. One of the things we know about perfectionism, by the way, isn't that you do everything perfectly or that you're successful in everything that you do, or that you're accomplished in everything you do. In fact, we find many perfectionists procrastinate and don't get things done at all. Why? I mean, why is it? Why is it that you say, well, I'm a perfectionist, yet I don't get things done, or when they get done, they're half done, or I get them 80% and I stop? This could be one of your children. You have children that work on their schoolwork and they get 80% done. They never turn it in. They don't finish it. It's not good enough. They throw the paper away. Maybe you're an artist, you paint a picture and then you throw it away because it's not good enough. You write something, you throw away because it's not good enough. Doesn't measure up. Which is a whole other thing. I go to these art shows sometimes and you see the artwork on the wall and you think, next to it, there's a price tag, $5,500. You ever done that? You've been in one of those? You say, I'm not going to pay $5,500 for that. Well, you know what? That artist, it was expressing themselves and that was their masterpiece, see? Everybody evaluates what's perfect or good when it comes to things like art. But when it gets into our lives and you're raising your kids, you never feel perfect. You never feel like you measure up. It's easy to become very unintentional with your life, scattered, just like you heard Linda going from one job to another in her case. So I'd ask the question, how has perfectionism impacted your life? What are you doing about it? What have you learned? What would you share with someone today who's coming up the path behind you and perfectionism feels to them like that anxiety, that anxious walk off of a painful cliff because nothing ever seems quite good enough? I wrestle with this. You know, I get done with some of the shows sometimes and say, well, that was lousy. You know, that wasn't as good as I could have been. It's not as perfect as it could have been. But you come back and you do it again. Because we know that God has called us to raise those kids, to do the business that God's given you. And you stay at it every day to get better. But perfectionism, I think Satan really can use to get us in a cul-de-sac in life and go round and round in circles. All right. How's it impacted your life? 888-888-1717 is the number. We'd love to get you on the air. Give us a call.
It's the three most important words in the English language.
I love you.
Okay, then maybe these are three among the most important words. Free, free, free. Intentional Living has free resources for you and your family to strengthen your faith, your marriage, your parenting, and more. Check out The Intentionals, our top 10 lists. Read free ebooks, start your own intentional one thing challenge, give and receive prayer, and more.
Cool, and it's all free, free, free.
TheIntentionalLife.com.
Here are six ways to get out and stay out of debt. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Just before we started recording this, we were joking about if you want to get out of debt, don't have kids, don't get married, and never go out. But the reality is we live in a world where there are expenses. So let me quickly give you six ways to get out and stay out of debt. Number one, spend less than you make over an extended period of time. Number two, sell unused and unneeded assets and then take those monies to pay off your debt. Number three, set a specific debt-free goal and a timetable and then work on it every day. Number four, stop using your credit card. You know that that can rack up the debt quickly. Number five, keep and review a spending journal where your money's going, very important. And then number six, practice generosity. That's biblical, it's healthy, and it's very intentional.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
You know, the Intentional Minute you just heard is heard on radio around the country, online around the world, also on Facebook every day. We post the video version of that. And so if you'd like to hear it again or share it with someone that you think could be encouraged by it, just go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. And when you like the page, a new video will come to your newsfeed every day, Monday through Friday. So go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. This month, we have a very special offer for those of you who will stand with us in support of the ministry with your best gift, and we thank you in advance for it. When you ask for it, it's called Parents Night Out. It's a DVD recorded at one of my conferences for parents on intentional living. It's our gift to you as you share your gift with the ministry, and we thank you for it in advance and ask for it, okay? Go to theintentionallife.com. TheIntentionalLife.com. Click on Donate. You know, I was mentioning the Intentional Living Minute, and Rob, while during the break, just mentioned that the Intentional Living Minute from last week, a few days ago, was on the topic of decluttering your life, how if you have clutter, it can make your life less happy. And it was one of our most viewed videos, like two or three times what our normal videos are viewed online, which really fits in, I think, to this topic today. Because these feelings of perfectionism, you got to do things perfectly, you've got to be perfect, is clutter in your life, in my life. And I know it can come from our childhood. We can grow up expecting that we have to be perfect. If it's not good enough, we throw it away. I can remember talking to a lady after I wrote a book on childhood memories, who shared a childhood memory with me that she never felt like she measured up. And later in life, she would bake pies, apple pies. And you put the little cracks in the top, I guess, whatever. I mean, for those of you who are bakers, you know how that is. She said if it didn't turn out perfectly and the pie would crack in the wrong direction, she would throw the whole thing away and start all over again. And it was just devastating her life. And she knew it. I mean, intellectually, she knew it. But at a feeling level, this is not a perfect pie. I can't share it with others. Satan loves this. I have to believe he's gleeful when he sees believers. Come on, when we're caught up in this. How has it affected you? 888-888-1717. Andrea is in New Mexico. Andrea, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. How has perfectionism impacted your life?
I would say pretty bad.
In what ways? What is it? Is it more about your work or your parenting, or what is it that you feel you don't measure up with?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think just growing up, people being so critical of me just kind of stuck with me to my adulthood. And so when I would start something, I would never really complete it. And it would cause things to pile up and for me to get behind. And then I would start to get anxious about that, or even just started even affecting me more on a personal level, like trying to get ready to go somewhere, combing my hair, putting on my makeup would take me so long from starting over. I would be missing important appointments or just so much in so many ways. It's affected me. So just learning to deal with that.
How would your life be different or better, Andrea, if perfectionism was not an issue for you? What would be different or better?
I would probably not miss so many appointments or important events in my life, or be late all the time, or I probably would, a lot of things would be different.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you're facing this, Andrea. By the way, have you talked this through with someone? Have you been getting some counseling or some help for this in your life?
Yeah, I've been going to counseling for almost 3 years.
Okay. Well, Andrea, listen, the reason I ask that question is because sometimes if we look at what perfectionism keeps us from doing, then we can talk about what is it about that thing that I'm fearful of. When I think about from a student standpoint, maybe you've got a son or daughter who, you know, they get their homework mostly done and they don't turn it in. You think, why is that? Maybe they don't think it's going to be good enough. They're not going to get the A. They're going to get the B. They don't feel like they measure up. They're going to get attention, whatever. But if we can think about what is my perfectionism keeping me from doing in life, then we can not focus on the perfectionism, but focus on what is it about that I don't think I deserve it. I think sometimes people are perfectionistic because they don't feel they deserve it, because they look around and they see everybody else and they say, well, I'm not like him or her or whatever. And so I got to measure up to ever get even close to that. And if I think I'm getting close to it, if I don't turn it in or if I don't complete it, then, well, it wasn't my fault. So perfectionism becomes a big, big, serious part of this. And I know you're wrestling with this too, Andrea. Andrea, listen, if you'll hang on, if we can get your address, I'd like to send you this month. I got a teaching that I've been sending to our members on anxiety and on how do we quiet a restless mind. I get the impression that maybe your mind is pretty restless. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that okay if you hang on? We can send it to you?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Sally, could you do that? Would you get her address and let's just send her one of those? I think we have some extra here from the office. Okay, we're talking about perfectionism. And it started with our first caller, Linda, and I talked to her on the phone a while back, and she talked about how it's impacted her career. How's it impacting you? 888-888-1717. Christine in Michigan. Hi there. How are you?
I'm okay.
How about perfectionism? Is it an issue for you?
I think so. But I passed the doing everything perfect or trying to not doing.
So in other words, you start and then you stop?
Well, no, it's like I turned around from doing all the stuff to I can't do it right now, so I won't do it till later.
Oh.
And then later doesn't come.
Yeah. How is perfectionism impacting your life? I mean, in your business, or your work, your marriage,
you know,
finances, whatever?
I'm retired now. I'm single. Pretty much just the procrastination thing.
And how is procrastination impacting you?
Not good.
Yeah, I mean, what is it costing you? Are you falling behind on things that are really important?
Well, kind of nothing seems important anymore. But yeah, I would say so.
So did this begin? Was this a bigger issue after you retired?
Yes.
So before retirement, when you were working, you had a purpose, you had deadlines, that kind of thing?
Right.
Is that part of it, you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now I have all the time in the world to do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the day, and it's, why didn't I do that?
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. Because you don't have someone depending on it, I guess, to get it done like you did when you were at work. What kind of work did you do?
I was a waitress.
Huh. Well, there, I mean, you can't procrastinate about that.
No.
Yeah, so and now that you don't have that routine, you've lost that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, well, 31 years in the same place, so, yeah. You know, that was...
Is this bother you, or are you happy with, I mean, are you happy with your life right now, or are you bothered by this?
I'd say bothered, because, like I said, at the end of the day, it's why didn't I do this, or why didn't I do more than I did do?
Do you feel like you need, I mean, are you interested in having more accountability and having things getting done and having that kind of, I mean, are you happier when you had that kind of schedule in your life?
Yeah, there wasn't a choice not to do anything. You know, you just did what you had to do.
Did you retire because you wanted to, or?
No, physically, it caught up with me.
Yeah.
Actually, well, I just left the doctor's office to find out I need surgery in the hip.
Oh boy.
And they put a shot in my knee. So.
My mom used to say, "Getting older ain't for sissies."
Exactly.
Hey, can I encourage you, Christine, because I think I, you know, kind of tapped into it, and I think this is true probably for some of you who are retired. You, when you're working, you have schedules, deadlines, accountability, job performance reviews, getting paid, promotions, and so it's tiring perhaps, but you know these things have to be done. You're being evaluated on it, but now all of a sudden you're on your own. There's no accountability. I can do what I want, and that's kind of fun for a while, but we know that people who are in retirement, sometimes without having some goals, having some things they're shooting for, some things they want to get done, can fall into this. It could be perfectionism, procrastination, or it could simply be, you know, depression, feeling like you're not, you know, you don't have as much meaning, which is a parallel topic, I think, to what we're talking about today. So for you, Christine, I'd encourage you to set some daily goals. Do one thing every day. Say, tomorrow, here's my one goal, something you can work on that's within your physical, you know, limits, something that's challenging for you. It could be something in the home. It could be phone calls. It could be a ministry outreach. But I think every day you got to have one thing. I had someone ask me the other day about my wristband. I wear a one thing wristband. And someone, a clerk, I think, said, "Well, what does that mean?" I said, "Hey, every day, as a believer, you know, as a Christian, I was sharing, every day I got to have one thing that's meaningful in my life. At the end of the day, I can look back and say this one thing made the most significant difference in my life." And I think every day, if you're a perfectionist, don't try to do 1,000 things, but have one thing. At the end of the day, you can look back and say, "Hey, I did this one thing, and God gets the glory for it." All right, come on in and join us. The lines are busy. We'll get you on as much as we can, as many of you can. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living. And we'll be right back.
You know, in Job, I mean, think about Job for a minute. Talk about anxiety. Not only everything he was going through, but wondering why he's going through it. And he says in Job 33, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me my life." We play a song on Family Life Radio by Johnny Diaz called "Breathe, Just Breathe," right? And I looked up the words from the chorus. Listen to the words that Johnny Diaz sings. "Breathe, just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be. Just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs. The process of God, the peace of God that overcomes, just breathe. Let your weary spirit rest. Lay down what's good and find what's best. Just breathe." Powerful words, aren't they?
You know, that's so true. Listen, I did a teaching this month for our members of Intentional Living called "How to Rest an Anxious Mind." Sometimes we just have to breathe. You know, that's where it begins. Members, watch for it. It'll be coming your way shortly. For those of you who've asked for it, if you're not a member, listen, you'd like to receive my monthly teaching. It's available to you this month, How to
Rest an Anxious Mind. Thank you for your support. And by the way, I'd like to say thanks as well with a special added gift for those of you who not only join us in monthly support, but if you share a gift and ask for it, we have a Parents Night Out DVD. It's a teaching from Intentional Living from one of my conferences for parents. But the How to Rest Your Anxious Mind is the teaching for this month. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And I thank you in advance for your support because you make, you know, you make stories like this possible. Thank you.
I called a couple years ago just out of absolute desperation. I had just found out that my husband had had an affair, and I was pretty broken. And everybody in the world, except for possibly my mom, my dad, and my pastor, were telling me that I just needed to leave him and have a divorce and get on with my life. And I called you because I knew that I still loved him, and I didn't know what else to do. And when I called you, you were so encouraging because you prayed with me and you told me, you know, to just basically draw close to God and commit to work on it with my husband as long as he was willing to work on it. And God would pull us through. It's now 2 years later, and I'm very secure in our marriage right now because I know that, you know, we both went through what we went through for a reason. And now I think we both see what we have to lose, and we cherish each other a lot more.
And thank you for sharing that. That's what your support's doing. Today is a topic that many of us wrestle with, this thing on perfectionism, which is not good. Doing things with excellence is good. But perfectionism, as I said, is kind of like an anxious walk off of a painful cliff because eventually it's going to catch up with you. Let's get to Dan in Michigan. Dan, welcome to the program, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
How has perfectionism impacted you?
Well, I sing opera for a living, believe it or not, and so perfectionism has impacted me in the past in that, you know, to sing opera for a living, you have a lot of people along the way that have to kind of give you their opinions and decide if they're going to hire you or not, and
yeah,
all based on what you're doing, and so there's always that fear of, oh, well, you know, if I don't get this right or that right or this little thing, you know, am I going to be successful? And I think in the last couple of years, I've been able to overcome that fear by being able to accept knowing what my best is, and also knowing if I haven't met that mark, that it's okay. You know, there's always going to be that next time to do it again, and to not worry so much about what, you know, the folks are going to think, but just to go out there and give it everything I got.
Yeah, you know, we live in a world today, especially online, kind of a Yelp world, isn't it, where everything is critiqued and reviewed and scored, and which is part of, you know, we all like seeing that those kinds of ratings when we're hiring somebody. But in our own lives, we don't want that in our family. You know, we don't want that in the areas of just being a human being and what God has created us. And so how did you get through that? I mean, how did you as a person get through that process to accept criticism?
Well, I think that, you know, a big part of it for me was certainly my faith, praying a lot.
Yeah.
Because you get a lot of information from a lot of people. And for me, sometimes it was really conflicting information. And so I had to just trust that I was on the right path. But another thing that I've come to understand is really just trying to make harmony, make fit with every situation that I'm in. To not allow that anxiety to get the best of me, but to ask myself, well, how can I be the best version of myself in this situation right now, and not worry so much about the past or the future, and just having that focus has been very helpful to me.
That's good. So, where is it that you use your talent?
Oh well, all over the place. I've sung all around the United States. I've sung around the world here and there. Just got done singing in Toledo, Ohio. It was a good production there, and I also just finished up my doctorate at Michigan State.
Good for you.
So it's been a productive year.
Hey, listen, I got about a minute left. You got a line for us? Can you sing something? Give us a line or two.
I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint, but it's something that I'd have to really prepare for.
Okay, I wondered about that. You got to get that voice in ready to go. So where are you going to perform? Yeah. Where is next if somebody wants to come and see you?
Next, nothing that I can say officially the summer kind of tapers off as far as the season goes. But you can look me up online. I don't know if it's okay to give my last name, but my
sure,
name is Dan.
To you.
My last name is Ewart, E-W-A-R-T. You can look me up online and just do a Google search, and I got a website.
Okay, well, great. Dan, listen, we'll have to have you back sometime after you've got it all warmed up.
Hey, all right.
Okay, my friend, thank you. Listen, I think Dan reminds us, I mean, you talk about being critiqued. He's an opera singer, does it for a living. And maybe you wrestle with this thing of perfectionism because you are being evaluated. And we live in a world today that is constantly under evaluation. That's why when we go home and we close the door, we need to be in a safe environment in our family where we're not being constantly evaluated and critiqued. And we all have to have that place where it's okay to be imperfect. It's okay to fall down. And as the scripture says, because pity the man who falls down has no one to help get him or her back up. And so in the process of your daily walk, in the process of your life, can I challenge you, if you wrestle with perfectionism, to come to the point where you recognize you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because this is a mental thing. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. The people that you think are perfect when you see them on TV or when you see them on the platform, they're not. We get that sometimes when we travel, speak, and I always tell people intentional living is not about perfectionism. In fact, it's the opposite. It's about the imperfection of our lives, about the sinful part of our lives, that all we want to do is to every day grow, to do one thing every day, to grow in our faith, to get a little stronger every day, to live a little more with excellence every day. And when we do that, that really is what intentional living is all about. We're going to leave the phone lines open. Maybe you wrestle with perfectionism. Maybe you've overcome it. Maybe you have some thoughts. We're going to stay right here, going to record for a later program so you can join in by calling 888-888-1717. If you missed any of today's program, thought, wow, that's interesting, it's available to you on demand at our website. Just go to theintentionallife.com to hear the program today or any of our archive programs. They're available on demand. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. For Rob and for Stephen and for Sally and myself and our team upstairs and all of us who are involved with intentional living, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening. And I hope you got one thing today that encourages you. All right. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.